You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It is a Gym Class here on KGYM for a Tuesday, April the 28th. Thank you for joining us here today. We, as always, are brought to you by our terrific daily sponsor. Our program brought to you by Hennings Financial. They are your retirement rollover specialist. Hennings Financial Incorporated is a locally Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm. They are focused on your retirement journey, and their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. To find out more, all you need to do is go to our website at kgymradio.com and just click on the banner and check out what they have to offer. Big thanks to Hennings Financial Incorporated, presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Pleasant good afternoon. Scott Unesh from our studios, Mark Dukes from just up the road on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and Buttons across the way here today on this Tuesday that saw a little rain go through. It wasn't a little rain. It was a pretty good shower or thunderstorm for about 5-10 minutes there, Mark, but we made it through.
It was indeed, and all's well right now, and looking forward to today's show and our guests, and I might take a minute. I was remiss yesterday in not welcoming back our friend Alex Kuhn to the Todd Bromo Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, and it's great to have Alex's voice back and his opinions, and I know he's working remotely like I am, but nevertheless, he's back on the air, and welcome back, Alex.
Yep, said that yesterday. I reiterate everything you have said, and great to have that voice back, and great to have another member of the sports staff here at KGYM back and ready to go, even though it is remotely. But we welcome him back out there. 319-366-1600, that is our text line. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well to reach us here at the KGYM studios. Good show. Dan Shunk of Our Lad Scouting Service one more time to join us. And we'll get Dan's opinions on the 2020 NFL Draft, what he thought the biggest winners were, teams that may have underwhelmed a little bit. So we will talk about that coming up. Major League Baseball, they don't have a definite starting point, but maybe they're inching a little bit closer. We'll talk about that. Coming up with you in just a little bit as we get things underway for this Tuesday. Thank you very much for listening to us. We do appreciate it. Whether you're listening 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, as well as in Cedar Rapids, 102.3 FM, the Gym OT, 107.5 FM, or 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Also, CBS Sports has their top 100 already of prospects for the college football class of 2021, going into the NFL draft next year. And a couple interesting names on there. We might hit that before we get too far into the program here today. And, Mark, we start off, I guess, with good news, is the fact that Major League Baseball is at least looking at a potential opening day. And this from CBSSports.com, Dane Perry, with an article today that he has written that Major League Baseball would like to start opening day by the 4th of July and maybe even mid-June-ish, if possible. And some details involved in that, perhaps a 100-game schedule or thereabouts. With some doubleheaders. Now, that is pending support from the Major League Baseball Players Association, I would imagine. Going through the month of October and then getting into the postseason in November and maybe even into early December, which I think is a tick long, but I would welcome baseball in any shape or form or any sport in any way, shape, or form right now.
I think so, too. And this story is based on a report by Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. And Ken reporting that the most realistic time range for opening day, as you mentioned, somewhere between mid-June and July 4th. That's the view of most of the officials in Major League Baseball, and it would allow for an 80 to 100 game regular season with the schedule running through October. An expanded postseason at neutral sites might follow in places that either have warmer climates or retractable roofs or whatnot, permanent roofs. It tells me that Major League Baseball is continuing to monitor the situation, realizing that what's true in New York may not be true in other places that have a Major League Baseball team or other facilities, for example, in Florida and Arizona, where the spring training sites are. This is far from finished, but it tells me that Major League Baseball is still thinking about having a season of some kind.
Right, and of course, yesterday we had the NBA come out with the fact that they're looking at opening their training centers toward the end of the week, weekend into the first part of next week, which has been greeted with a mixture of feelings, as you can imagine. I think the same thing is going to go as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. If you have games in mid-June through July the 4th, somewhere in there you're going to have your opening day, Mark. According to our friend Cal Eldred, friend of the show and Kansas City Royals pitching coach, you need to have at least a four-week redo of spring training. So that would, what, put spring training the middle of the month of May, you're thinking, or around the May 10th, 12th-ish, somewhere around there it's got to happen.
Unless it's an abbreviated gear up, and I know Cal as a pitching coach would not recommend that. I would think he would want 3 or 4 weeks to get his pitchers ready. I have to believe Major League players and pitchers, if they're smart, are staying in some kind of shape. It's not game ready situations, but they know what to do. They go to a ballpark and run pulls and do stretching and they're familiar with spring training and trying to get ready for a season, but it doesn't really mimic what you actually go through in game situations and spring training and whatnot. So there's going to have to be some concessions if Major League Baseball wants to get back in this time frame, and it could be that it's maybe only a couple-week gear up.
Yeah, we'll have to. That remains to be seen. You mentioned Ken Rosenthal was the first to report this from The Athletic. And here's the, according to CBS Sports, this is the key takeaway from Ken Rosenthal's report from The Athletic. This is a quote from Ken Rosenthal. The most realistic time range for opening day, somewhere between mid-June and July the 4th, in the view of most officials, would allow for an 80 to 100 game regular season. With the schedule running through October, an expanded postseason at neutral sites might follow, with the World Series ending in late November or early December. So you're basically pushing things 1 month back as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Now, there are a few issues that remain, many issues. A couple that spring to mind would be, are there going to be doubleheaders, and how many doubleheaders are there going to be? We used to have I don't remember this, Mark. You probably don't remember it either. We used to have, once upon a time in Major League Baseball, there used to be doubleheaders on Sundays.
Well, I sure do, and I look forward to them. Especially if I could go to one and whatnot. I look forward to them. And, you know, there's the component of, you know, a compressed schedule and reduced revenues and whatnot, and what that means for the Players Association. Will the association approve certain aspects of it? Will it be in line with what the owners want? That's all a very tenuous situation, I think. But I think in these times that owners, players, fans, what have you, would write this season off and do what is possible and then try to return to some semblance of normalcy in 2021, but we shall see in the next couple months. But the baseball is thinking about a possible return, and I think that's good, whether it's with fans, with it's going to be different no matter what the situation is.
And we really don't know how it's going to be until we actually get to a stadium. Are we going to be able to get to a stadium? Is there going to be hand sanitizer in every aisle? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows exactly how this is going to play out as of yet. Other questions? Obviously, the Major League Baseball Players Association has to agree with this, if this indeed is what baseball is looking at, as far as doubleheaders, games being played. Also, the postseason. Say you're a warm weather club. Does this mean you get to play all your games in your stadium, even though you may be the visiting team for a couple of games on the scoreboard, per se? If my favorite team was playing another team and they had all five or all seven games potentially in their ballpark, I'm not going to be a very happy camper about that.
No, I mean, if you're the White Sox, you want your fair share of home games. And, you know, in December, that's not going to be real appetizing. So that's one other aspect that has to be worked out. And now things have trickled down to the minor leagues as well, as there's been an announcement from the Midwest League in terms of its season.
Yeah, earlier today, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette reporting that the Midwest League All-Star Game has been canceled for 2020. It was to be played in Bowling Green, I do believe, and they will get the game in 2021. But as JJ brought up, who knows if what the Midwest League will look like? Who knows if Bowling Green will be in the Midwest League and other factors? I guess you take care of those down the road and worry about trying to get minor league baseball back for 2020 first, I guess.
And beyond that, I think as an old-time Midwest League guy, it's weird that the All-Star game would be played in Kentucky, of all places. But that's where we're at right now in terms of the Midwest League. And Bowling Green, if it is still around and the league is still around, will host next year.
Our friend Matt in Cedar Rapids on the text line, throwing a little shade at you and I, Mark. December baseball eliminates the Twins and the White Sox.
It sure does from home game.
Yeah. I can't imagine a baseball game on December the 1st in Minneapolis. But, hey, we've played golf in December, Mark, so I am never saying never, right?
Not often, but yes, we have. John on the text line, I haven't heard, is the Major League Baseball game in Dyersville still going on? That's scheduled in August between the Sox and the Yankees, and last I heard, it has not been called off. Is that right?
Right. Well, construction's still ongoing up in Dyersville as far as the ballpark is concerned, and yeah, if Major League Baseball is going to play this year, they are going to play a game in Dyersville. I mean, they didn't put all the money into constructing that park, et cetera, and all the logistics that go into it and say, you know what? Yeah, the heck with it. We're not going to worry about it.
Right.
So my guess is, yes, the game is still on. That is number one, and my guess is it will be rescheduled. May not be the same exact date. Maybe it will be the same exact date. Who knows? I guess we have to wait until we have a starting point as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, until we have a starting point for sports, period. And then we can act on that, and Major League Baseball will act upon that as well. But good question.
Yeah, and perhaps we'll reach out to the folks in Dyersville and ask them what they know for a future show here.
Yeah. Yeah. 319-366-1600. Thank you for the text. Appreciate it. Keep them coming in. We're going to talk with Dan Shonka of Arlat Scouting Service. We will do that coming up in just a little bit, as we will take a look back at last weekend's National Football League draft and talk with Dan about which teams did well in his opinion, and which teams maybe came up short as far as his opinion is concerned. And we've got fallout from the ESPN Last Dance going on right now. I'm waiting for the rematch between the Bulls and the Pistons. I want to have some sort of Adam Sandler movie-esque type ending to this. Can we get them together again and just have them go at it? It might be fun. It might be fun. Bill Laimbeer calling the Chicago Bulls whiners.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're already going at it, that's for sure. And I told you in week one when the first 2 hours aired that I wasn't all too interested in it. I watched some the first week. I didn't watch much of any this past weekend. It just doesn't trip my trigger in terms of, you know, I thought there was some nice behind the scenes things and in the first couple hours, but you know, we lived through a lot of this, didn't we?
Yeah.
And how much are we going to learn in 10 hours? And, you know, it's not a documentary on Michael Jordan. It's not a documentary on Dennis Rodman. It's a documentary on that particular season, The Last Dance. And, you know, there's some things, as I understand, that haven't been covered yet. Maybe they will be in the next 6 hours. But I know people are watching it.
Oh, a lot of them.
I don't begrudge them. A lot of people are watching it.
A lot of people.
But not my cup of tea.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. On the text line, a very good question from David in Hudson. Who does Rodman play for?
Yeah.
Because he played, of course, for both teams. The Detroit Pistons. And also played for the Chicago Bulls. What do you think of Rodman? Do you think of him? I think of him as a Piston, though.
Boy, that's tough. It really is. You know, Rodman was a different bird. He still is. But I really like the guy in terms of what he meant. He brought to both teams. He might score nothing in a game and grab 20 rebounds and affect the game emotionally in more ways than one. I mean, he was just a different player in that regard, and both teams benefited from having him.
Okay, I've got the solution, David. I've got the solution to David and Hudson. Rodman plays for one team in one half, the other team in the other half.
I don't know if he'd go for that.
And if he gets kicked out of one half, he can come back as a member of the opposition team in the second half and try to get kicked out twice. With two teams in the same game. I think we're on to something. If they want to get money and raise money to fight the COVID-19 and the coronavirus, get the Bulls and the Pistons together again and play a rematch. One game winner.
Let's just have a sit down with Rodman and Laimbeer. Have them hash it out. How about that?
That might be fun. That might be fun. And I want Rodman to play for the Bulls in one half, and I want him to play for the Pistons in the other half.
And the sequel will be Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas sitting down.
Yeah. Zeke has gone on record saying he's just shocked by all the negative things being said about him.
No, I thought we were buddies.
Oh, no, Isaiah. No, Isaiah. Not the case out there. So, 319-366-1600. Yeah, numbers were just about as good for the second weekend of The Last Dance than they were from the first weekend. Just off a tick, but still very strong numbers. Nothing like the NFL draft was, and we will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit with Dan Shanka of Our Lad Scouting Service. 319-366-1600. We will take a break, come back, and we're going to talk with Dan from Our Lads and find out his thoughts about the 2020 NFL draft. So stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one.
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual playdates. Social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together.
Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Being isolated from those you care about can be hard. Now, more than ever, you may want support. Turn to Your Life Iowa. We can help you through any challenge you may be facing with mental health, suicidal thoughts, alcohol, drugs, gambling, or more. With Your Life Iowa, you're never alone. Call, text, or chat with us online 24/7. Start at yourlifeiowa.org, where your everyday life support. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Economic stimulus payments will be hitting your bank account soon. In fact, nearly $200 million will be coming to area households. You might need that money for rent, mortgage, utilities, even food. But if you don't, KGYM encourages you to think of the thousands of local businesses being impacted right now. Waiting to spend those dollars at your favorite place when we're all on the move again? That'll be a huge boost for them and our economy. If you don't need it for necessities, save your stimulus and shop locally. It could mean millions of dollars for the corridor.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota L-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota L-Series tractors. With a powerful and reliable Kubota diesel engine, two superior transmission options, and optional performance-matched implements, including front loader and backhoe, the L2501 can tackle any job. Kubota is a proud sponsor of Iowa State football on the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. If you have a question for Dan, post NFL draft, we would love to hear from you and field it and all that good and exciting stuff. And a couple of them already coming in as we speak. And Dan Shaka from Our Lad Scouting Service joining us, caught up on sleep, etc., after three fun-filled days of drafting for the National Football League. And great to have you, Dan. You all set? You're refreshed? You're ready to go back and get ready, for 2021 now, right?
Well, the thing is, when the draft was over, of course, we have to update all the NFL depth charts. So we had changed around about 1,200 transactions, you know. I mean, one way or another, moving guys and things like that, then adding – you know, the 255 that were drafted. And now, once the league, we get the information from the league about the undrafted free agents, they'll be added on there. And altogether, you know, this week will be about 1,200 or so transactions. And then, you know, doing an analysis, going through and looking at, you know, hey, the teams were for instance, Arizona, they need an offensive lineman. They get one, or they get a defensive line. They got two of them. And, you know, going through an analysis of all 32 teams on, you know, positions, all their positions. So we really haven't had that chance to prop them up and, you know, sit down and have a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 or in a brown paper bag, you know. No, we haven't had a chance to do any of that yet, but we've had a nice key and just you know, do a little analysis and things, and then looked at a little bit of 2021. And no, we're excited, about where these guys are, where they went, and how they're going to do for their teams.
You're taking us back to our West Side youth there, Dan, with the Mad Dog.
Well, that was Ripple, I think, back then. Do they even make Ripple anymore? I mean, that wasn't, Ripple and all that, their Bally High or whatever that was. I don't even know if they make that stuff anymore. But anyway.
Dan, we got a lot of questions on our text line, but I want to start with one of my own. Your evaluation as to what was the biggest reach in the first round, was it Love to the Packers or someone else, like maybe Jordan Brooks from Texas Tech?
Well, I think, in our opinion, Love was a big reach there because, I mean, especially to the Packers, because they needed help. I mean, here is the biggest receiver draft in NFL history, and they needed a receiver. They need a big-time guy to go with Aaron Rodgers or what, one game away from the Super Bowl last year. And just for this, how about helping your guy out a little bit, your Hall of Fame quarterback? And they didn't draft not one in the first round, but they didn't draft one the whole draft, So they did nothing to help Aaron Rodgers out. Now they got the big running back. They got Dylan out of Boston College. He's a powerful straight line guy, big and fast, more of a short yard. He's a little bit of an upright runner. But he's not a guy that's really going to help elevate him, to the next level. So I was disappointed there, and as I am sure all the Packer fans were. And so I think that was probably as big a shocker as anything.
On the text line, Las Vegas Raider fans are weighing in. First of all, 1527 from the 720 area code. Dan, what were the Raiders doing with their second pick of the first round? Ugh. And that's followed by 1288. What is your take on the Raiders draft?
Yeah, no, I think I know what you mean. Now, Arnett, he's a good corner. We had him in the third round, but here's the thing. It's how you play him, and if they're going to play him at press, it was still too early. Don't get me wrong. It was still too early to take him, I think that – but I did like a couple things in the draft. In fact, about a week or 10 days after we had already printed our guide, but I got to thinking – I sat in draft meetings with John Gruden for 3 years, and I know the way John thinks, and I – should have pulled the trigger earlier on this, but we end up putting Ruggs in the in the mock draft going to Las Vegas because John is looking over at Kansas City, Scott's beloved team, world champs, and they say, well, they got Tyreek Hill over there, and I want one like him. I mean, I can tell you, that's the way John said, I want one like him. He's just like a little kid, and I want one like that, So I know that's why they took Ruggs, because he's the fastest. And in fairness now, Ruggs is a football player. He's not like John Ross went to Cincinnati, out of Washington a few years ago. This guy is a legit football player that will cover, go down, he played gunner, he'll make tackles, and is really a good football player, okay? Judy was a little smoother, more probably NFL-ready in some respects, but you know what? God only gives so many people great speed, and Ruggs is one of those guys. So, I thought that overall that, now the way we do, we don't put letter grades on them. We just put like very good, good, above average and what have you. So, but we gave the Raiders an above average grade just simply because they grabbed two really good receivers, a linebacker to help them out. And I tell you, now Arnett is, now don't get me wrong. Now, I wouldn't have taken Arnett in the first round, like I said, but he is a good football player, okay? Now, his problem is where if he's going to get matched up, he's isolated on the outside with the speed guy, he might be a step slow. He's going to end up getting a pass interference. He's going to grab he's going to grab a shirt tail. But if you play him rotten press and you don't ask him to turn and run, you're isolating man-to-man, he's not a bad corner now. I mean, he's worthy probably even of a late second maybe, and we had him at the top of the third, so don't worry about that.
Dan, on the text line, 1960 would like to know if DeAndre Swift was a good pick for the Detroit Lions.
Well, you know, they ended up taking Kerryon Johnson last year, who did some good things. But, yeah, Swift is one of the top three running backs. And when we had Dobbs on top, then we had Swift, and then we had Jonathan Taylor third, and then the Edwards-Helaire kid, you know, fourth, and went to Kansas City, actually, in the first round. But, yeah, that was a good pick for them. They needed a running back. They needed some help, some stars there. And Swift is a star, and he can catch it and run great in between the tackles, and then he's got the juice to turn it on outside. So, yes, it was a good pick.
Yeah. Dan Shaka joining us from Our Lad Scouting Service, 319-366-1600. If you have a question, and questions flying in here, 0206. How do you think the Buffalo Bills did? A lot of people think they did very well with their second-round pick. I know that.
Well, I know this, that big guy, I was glad to see that Buffalo, what they're doing now, they built their team up quite a bit. And I think what they did, you know, A.J. is going to fit right into that. I'll tell you, they got a fierce front, you know, 4-8-man rush counting the outside guys and a good rotation in there. And I think the thing is that I think nationally people kept thinking, well, if you're looking for an edge guy, a 5-flat at the combine is not, you know, a big-time edge guy. But that isn't what A.J.'s about. A.J.'s a power guy that can play like the edge in a 3-4 or be a left end in a 4-3 or be reduced, kick him down inside, and he can play tackle and rush from the inside, then get those big hands up and knock the ball down. So, I mean, what he does – his value, I was in our minds a late first round, and hey, he goes in the second, that's fine. He's got a chance to prove himself. But Zach Moss, a good, really good slasher type running back, went to Buffalo. Really like him a lot. Just worry about his injury history because he's been nicked up quite a bit. And they got a good kicker there, and Bass. He'll certainly compete for the job. But, I thought that overall it was an average draft with A.J. clearly being their best guy.
Dan, a couple folks on the text line wanted to know about the Minnesota Vikings draft.
Darren, as a Packer fan, is very happy, or a Viking fan, loved the Packers draft, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing about Minnesota, they didn't run out of picks. I think they had 15 guys they end up drafting, and I tell you, Rick really did a beautiful job up there this year. Nationally, and I've known Rick for about 30 years, we used to kind of we'd scout on the road together, and actually when he was with Detroit back in the day when he was a road scout, and he's always very conscientious, and he's a guy that before he makes a pick, he has a plan, and they ended up getting Jefferson in the first round, which was people thought he ended up going 22nd. I think a lot of folks out there thought he could go a little earlier, but they got a real good one there that across the field will really help. Gladney is a corner we had in the second round. He went in the first, he's a little bit more of a compact kind of guy instead of a long corner. But nevertheless, the guy's got speed, can turn and run, and will be right in the thick of things all the time in the secondary. The Ezra Cleveland, the tackle they took, is an ascending guy that he's a long guy that, you know, he'll be in the mix. Now, what we did, again, like the way we grade, we gave him a very good, and they drafted 15 guys. They got receivers and help. Of course, they got our guy from Iowa, Nate Stanley, who will be battling for the backup job with Manning right now, who's there. He'll be in the running for competing for the backup job.
By the way,
we want to get back to the text line, but since you mentioned Nate Stanley, being taken by the Vikings in the seventh round, was it better for him to get drafted by the Vikings or go the free agent route? Because it seems to me Sean Mannion is not a guy that can't be beaten out.
Right. No, you're exactly right. No, I think that was good. I think, I doubt very few people know the Iowa program as good as, Rick Spielman does. You know, Scott Studwell used to, I think, live in Iowa City, before he retired. And they really know the Iowa program, and they felt good about Nate. And I think that, that's why they drafted him. They felt like they could get him late. They had 5 seventh-round picks, believe it or not. And I think they felt like they could bring him in late because he's smart. He's going to learn stuff quickly. And now with this pandemic going on, you're going to need, guys that learn fast and learn the playbook, and Nate will be able to do that. So I think that was another consideration. But he'll be in the running there to compete with Mannion for that backup spot.
Rick Spielman, former Southern Illinois Salukie, I learned during the draft. Dan Shock, hey. our lad scouting service, joining us at 3:38 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Couple questions. John at Columbus Junction and 0497 asking about your thoughts about the 49ers, and did they help themselves?
Well, I tell you, the first two picks were pretty awesome. I mean, they got I'm not going to say they replaced Buckner, because I was always a big Buckner fan and loved him when he came out of, Oregon, and he was a tremendous player. But Ken Law, he's a great athlete and player in flashes. Now, maybe someday he'll be as good as Buckner, but he's not going to be for a while. But I mean, he's big, he's strong. You see him, he's fast. If you put a highlight film on him, you go, wow, this is the second coming, of, King Kong, and he's really a good player. But he took the last half off last year of the season. That kind of bothered me. He got agenitis, and he just kind of shut it down, and a lot of players on their team were hurt. And instead of stepping up and taking charge and making plays sideline to sideline, he kind of stood up and looked around, and just I was disappointed in that. But he's a talent, and now he's with a bunch of really good football players. Just came off the Super Bowl. I think that that will help him a whole lot. And then Ayuk, I was surprised he ended up going in the first round just because he had some recent surgery, some core surgery that usually takes a while to heal. But I guess with the way things are going now, we don't know when football is going to get started again. But he's a super talented guy, long arms, big hands, can return, excellent speed, excellent run after catch. So they got a pair of really good ones there. I like the tackle out of West Virginia, Colton McKivitz, tough, physical guy. His dad makes raccoon hats, so you got to love him. And then the other two guys, free agent guy, Charlie Warmer, he's just a free agent, late-round choice, as is Jennings, the receiver from Tennessee. But, it all depends. Now, you got to add in Trent Williams. You throw Trent Williams in there, now all of a sudden you go, wow, you got Trent Williams, you got Ken Law, you got Ayuk, pretty good. So on a team that doesn't have, a lot of holes.
Dan, we've got friends all over the board on the text line. You think they're just Midwest fans like Bears and Packers?
Chiefs.
Nope. Chiefs. 5319, a Dolphin fan, has the Dolphins with a below-average grade. Am I being too hard on them?
Yeah, I tell you what, I think that the key to that whole draft, everybody – knows, and I'm sure I'm singing to the choir here, is how Tua does. I mean, that is going to be the key to this whole draft, because if he does well and stays healthy, I mean, that was a tremendous pick. Okay, and then the tackle they got in the first round, Austin Jackson, a lot of people don't know about him because he was kind of recovering early from surgery that he had. He gave bone marrow to his sister, and so he kind of started out slow. And all those highlight film YouTube fans out there, they throw that on early, they're going to say, oh, man, that guy sucks, but he doesn't. He's got some of the greatest feet in this draft as a tackle, and he went in the right spot. He went after the big four, and then he went next. So he's a good player. And then the corner, Noah, I can't pronounce his last name, but it's really long, and his mom and dad were Nigerian Olympic stars, and this kid is really a terrific football player. So Davis will be a good fit in there, a defense tackle from Alabama. He started when he was a sophomore. Kinley, a wide body guard. He looks like a freight train in there, but he's got things learned. But no, I tell you what, we gave them above average, Weaver does some good things. Strobridge is underrated. Ferguson's a snapper. And, of course, I love Malcolm Perry from Navy. Maybe they'll throw in some option packages.
319-366-1600. Couple questions about the Bears. Also, not only just a summary of the draft, but also questions about unrestricted free agents or undrafted free agents. Ahmad Wagner, does he make the Bears? And how about Max, Khalil Mack's little brother?
Well, I tell you what, I think Khalil Mack, the only unless Khalil goes in the office and say, well, you know, I can sure probably get a couple extra sacks if you keep my brother around. You know? And, but, no, I think he'll have a tough time making the team. No, I thought the first two picks for the Bears were really good. I mean, Komet was our top tight end, I think the top, you know, consensus tight end out there from Notre Dame. Complete Y-type package, blocked down. He can run routes, catch the ball, run after catch, all that stuff. Jalen Johnson, big long corner from Utah, who he did have shoulder surgery, but once he's healed, he'll be fine. And then I think Travis Gibson is more of a developmental guy they took in the fifth round. While there, the corner out of Georgia Southern is kind of a smallish guy. You know, when you're in that division, he's a Southern kid, and I just think you got to get bigger corners that are you know, kind of grew up where it's cold, because people can say what they want to. They say, oh, yeah, it's great, I'm with the Bears, and, you know, I'll be able to adjust to it. But, hey, when that, you know, wind starts blowing up Lake Michigan, they might blow Valdera right off the field, you know. So, but I tell you what, I thought they could have done a lot better, because they took two free agent offensive linemen in the seventh round, which they did that price, so they'd have to bid for them. You know, that kind of bothered me a little bit. But then Mooney is a little fast guy, really fast from Tulane. So we just, you know, right now I'm on the fence, either average or a little below average.
And Ahmad Wagner on that text?
Yeah, well, a heck of an athlete. I know they really liked him down at University of Kentucky, and he's a big. I mean, he might have a chance being a different type of receiver, being a really good athlete, plus being tall, maybe a red zone type guy. So I wouldn't put it by him, but I think at least he might make the practice squad.
Dan, we've gone all this time without talking about Iowa's top pick in the draft, and that's Tristan Wirfs. And as you know, he was a fourth tackle taken, maybe slipped down a little bit, but it seems like he landed in a real good spot.
Oh, he did. No question about it, because all he's got to do is set and punch, because Tom has hit that ball out quick. You know what I mean? So he just got to hey, we like him anywhere along there. It's just a matter of preference. It's not so much – I think the three top guys – you know, with Wirfs, Wills, and Thomas, those are three top guys. Now, I think that the Becton kid from Louisville is going to, I mean, he's big and wide, and he may be another Trent Brown some day, who's the highest paid guy in the league right now out at Las Vegas. But I still think Wirfs athletically and is an ascending guy. He hadn't even scratched the surface yet, in my opinion. I just think he's going to be a really, really a good player in the league. See, I think Wills is a little more ahead of him in regards to playing maybe a little more violent, although Wirfs has shown some violence. But I know Bill Callahan really well, and I didn't talk to Bill about the pick or anything. But I think that Wills, he just kind of sees Wills maybe as, you know, some guy that's just, you know, is more ready to go in his mind. Although I know that he really liked Wirfs as a athlete and everything. And it's just a matter of, you know, team's preference. They all had him. I talked to 8 offensive line coaches prior to the draft, about a month or so before the draft, and they all had those three guys. It was just a matter of, you know, hey, here, you know, Wirfs first or Thomas first or Wills. Wills was only first in about a couple of the guys that I talked to, but, you know, Bill liked him because he's all set in the same way he could take Wirfs, because they're set in the zone. They play, you know, that the both are pro zone offensive teams. And but he liked Thomas too, you know. I mean, so and it, when I talked to the guys, they didn't tell me, you know, who they would have picked, but they just said, "Hey, those are the three." And none of them mentioned the Beckton kid, who was actually, you know, who Wirfs went after, which was surprising, you know. So, but anyway, no, I think that you know, Tristan went to the right spot, and hey, maybe his mom will like that warm weather than these winters up here in Iowa.
Darn right. Darn right. Dan Chalk joining us. A few more minutes. We'll try to get in as many. A lot of people. Dan, you're very popular today. Always popular, but very popular today. Leo in Iowa City, as well as Cajun Troy, I'm sure. Your thoughts about the Hoodat Saints and their draft?
Well, you know, they had very few picks, but with the picks that they had, they did really well. And, you know, I think that, let's see, we gave them, let me see my little cheat sheet here. Yeah, well, we gave them like an average grade, but, you know, they had I don't know if they signed Winston, Jameis Winston yet as their backup quarterback, but if they did, you know, they've got to put that in the mix here. But I love the center from Michigan, who is really good. Vaughn from Wisconsin, outstanding player. And then the big tight end from Dayton. Now, he looks like an NFL tight end. I don't know if you've seen him yet, but he's about 6'4", 265, 270. And he just needs to get knocked around by the big boys for a while. But he did well at the Senior Bowl. So we gave them an average because they only had four picks. Okay, and Tommy Stevens, the last quarterback they picked as a utility guy that I actually had in the Shrine Bowl. So I'd give them an average, but I tell you what, they probably got three starters right off the top there.
Dan, in the interest of squeezing in as many as possible here, folks want to know about their team. Among them, the Browns, the Cowboys, and the Steelers.
Okay, I tell you what, love the Browns draft. You know, they got our top safety in the second round, Delpit, love him. And then, hey, the Cowboys, their fans are always. I told Jerry that I'd give him a free subscription next year. He won't have to pay for it if he lets me, you know, come to his yacht. But then I changed my mind. I'd rather have the money. So anyway. But they had a good draft. I thought they did really a nice job. And who's the third one?
The Steelers.
Oh, hey, the Steelers. I tell you what, I love Claypool. I mean, big, strong wide receiver, physical guy. He's a guy that's a hybrid. He can play. He can get in the tight end, go down the seam, gets covered too, and they'll split him. And the safeties are going to be looking at each other like, hey, how do we beat for a touchdown? And then he can go wide. I mean, he's a big, physical wide receiver that's very tough. I love the pick they took in the fifth round, Kevin Dodson from Dobson from Louisiana. He looks like a Steeler lineman. Big hand, strong, tough, physical guy.
There you go. A lot of questions.
Well, excuse me, Scott. Hightower, too. The pass rush guy off the edge from Charlotte. Like him, too.
Do you like CeeDee Lamb to Dallas?
Yeah, that was a good pick. I think the biggest problem now is Jerry's fighting with him about jersey numbers. He wanted, like, number 10, and Jerry wants to wear Irvin's old number 88, so they've already started fighting down there on that stuff.
I got to ask you before you go here about the Chiefs. Took their yearly juvenile delinquent type, but tell you what, Willie Gay, if he's got his head screwed on straight, is exactly what the Chiefs needed at that linebacker position.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But now I tell you what, you know, the thing is, we didn't have him rated anywhere near up there because there wasn't enough good film on him to, I had, besides myself, two other people look at him because I didn't really like him that much. Our linebacker expert, he thought he was okay, but he wasn't fired up about it. And our other guy kind of liked him, you know, in the middle rounds. And then, of course, you know, he punched a teammate and all that other stuff. I mean, you could have got the guy a lot later. Why take him in the second round, you know? But, hey, we'll see. The world champs, so I guess they don't make any wrong decisions. And but I do like the fourth-round pick, Snead. He played safety last year at Louisiana Tech. He's really a big corner, what he was the year before. Like him, he'll be a good player. Dana from Michigan, he rotated. We had him at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And I tell you what, just a tough kid, explosive off the edge. They'll find a place for him. Keys was another one who's going to play with us at the Shrine, but he got injured. But he's really a good corner, that, and they needed corners, so he'll get a chance there. And then, of course, Edwards-Hilaire. I hate to contradict, Andy, but when I was at Philadelphia, we drafted Westbrook. Now, Westbrook was a little more explosive. Edwards-Hilaire, boy, he got great vision. He can weave through there. I mean, he's just really good. Not a super fast guy, but he's got great running instinct. So, we had him. He was our fourth running back. We had him in the second round, I guess it was, and the second or third, maybe. Top of the third, I think, but – you know, hey, horses for courses, and Andy knows how to use those guys.
Yep, really does. Good for the that system in there. And Dan, folks want to already get an early jump on 2021, the website, and how they can get that information.
Yeah, I'll tell you, now the pro website, the NFL site right now, we're adding the college free agents as they get, as they're released to us from the league. But well, all the guys that were drafted this past weekend are on the site, in on the depth chart, and then we're working on the college depth charts and things like that now, adding the signings and things for this year. And so and then we have our draft review that comes out that's really, really popular with people, that we talk about these guys and how they're going to fit into the team scheme that drafted them. So that'll be coming out in about 3-4 weeks, I guess, but. Usually we do it after OTAs, but obviously there's no OTAs. So, but anyway, they can go to OurLads, OurLads.com, and have at it. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
All right.
Dan, I'm going to check the shelves for Mad Dog 2020. I'll let you know.
Okay. Hey, they are Valley High or the best stuff with a screw-off cap.
Oh, nothing but class on their show. Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Thanks a million. I appreciate being on with you all year.
All right. Dan Shonka, our lad scouting service. Check them out at the website Dan told you about. We'll have our podcast up and ready to go with buttons after the show. Quick break, come back with more.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial.
All right, we'll
a
have to
firm helping regular
we'll
families
have to do,
retire
there's a
better.
1 minute break. We'll do it 5850.
University of Iowa Healthcare wants you to help.
Yeah, I wanted to get everybody's question in though.
By staying 6 feet apart from others.
If yep, you it was good. It was good.
Touch, you're too close. We stand together safely. More
yes,
tips at
we'll go 5850.
Pros.
When we come
those
back
wants
from this
to help you keep working.
In a minute.
That's why we're
we'll
open
go,
for Pro Business Hour 6 to 7 a.m. Monday through Saturday. You'll find the quantities you expect with dedicated pro associates and loaders to help you get what you need fast and load you up curbside. Now, more than ever, we know you need to win every single bid. You can count on Lowe's for special values on pro-trusted brands and savings when you buy in bulk. Save yourself a trip by shopping Lowe'sForPros.com, where we can ship thousands of items to your doorstep or to the job site. Lowe's is open and pro ready.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car. I hit a car. I hit a car.
Coverage, visit statefarm.com.
Back with you at 356. Want to remind you the gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. And you can find out more. All you need to do is go to our website, check it out at kgymradio.com. 2662 Mark with a really interesting question that came on after we let Dan go. They asked, is there going to be a supplemental draft? There has been a supplemental draft is draft in name only because there's only been about one or two guys available. I believe the rules are if you take somebody in the supplemental draft, which usually goes between the draft and the start of the regular draft, I should say, and the start of training camps, you lose some one of your middle round draft picks, I guess, for the next year or something like that. It's hard to explain, but people that weren't in the draft that suddenly have the availability to be drafted. There are a lot of rules for the supplemental draft.
Yeah, that's my recollection as well. Of course, there were compensatory picks from the third round on, and those had to do with, you know, compensation for draft picks and whatnot. But supplemental draft, I think, has really been thin in recent years.
It has been. Not like it used to be. The 2021 draft, top 100 already up at CBS Sports, which includes Alaric Jackson, Brock Purdy of Iowa State, Charlie Kolar of Iowa State, and Tyler Linderbaum of Iowa, Mark, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
I'm not surprised he's that highly regarded by any means. Of course, the decision by Linderbaum and Purdy and others, not Jackson, would have to be made, you know, leaving school early. And that's kind of vogue these days.
Yeah. See how the let's hope there's a 2020 season to worry about first. That's what we all hope for. All right, Mark, we're going to talk with Tom Cakert tomorrow about Iowa's terrific recruiting, and we'll do that at 3. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream.